America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Regrets. But that one, you know, people love pointing that out because that is the one that ultimately ended his Steelers career. Because he took off on the run, which, you know, at the time, we're thinking no big deal, but then he gets up lame, he's hurt, and he never takes a meaningful snap for this team again, which is, I don't think, what anybody, even his biggest detractors from day one, I don't think anybody expected that. 412-928-9370, if you want to join the conversation. Coming up, we will talk to George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now. Get into a little bit of hoops here tonight before we get things revved up for the 9 o'clock hour. We will dive more into football once we get to 9 o'clock. Also, USA Soccer against Panama, that game just wrapped up. What happened in that? We'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour as well. First, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates, full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Clear overnight, low of 59. It's Donnie Football with you on 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Donnie Football with you tonight until 10:35. Joel Nelson with me behind the glass. We have Joel's pick coming up at 10 o'clock. As always, I'll let Joel get into one of his big topics for the night. Also, the first presidential debate tonight, Joel. We will unfortunately, very unfortunately, not be privy to the audio here. We have two very massive, nice TVs in studio, but I obviously will not have the volume up while on the air, but that will be some riveting television, as it always is. We'll get into a little basketball stuff right now, and we will go out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find George Michalowski from the Portal Report and Pittsburgh Sports Now. George, want to start with Bub Carrington. That obviously the big local story because one of the highest drafted Pitt players ever, 14th overall. He will play for the Washington Wizards. Your overall reaction to Bub getting taken at that spot, about right for you? I know a lot of people projected him right around the edge of that lottery area.
Yeah. First of all, Donnie, thanks for having me on. Always love coming on. But, yeah, I mean, I think you got to be pleasantly surprised if you're Bub and if you're Pitt for the 14th overall pick. I mean, his dad told me earlier, you know, right when he declared that when he was starting the process, that, all right, look, we're hearing anywhere from 9th overall to late 20s overall. So that was the beginning of the process. As you saw these mock drafts come out throughout the spring and summer, it was kind of like, all right, the Thunder at 12 kind of made sense. Like, people love what their GM, Sam Presti, does over there. that would have been a cool landing spot. But other than that, above the 12th pick, I didn't really see it happening. But for him to get 14th overall, the last lottery pick, like, that's a great look for Pitt, number one. But obviously, a tremendous situation for him. I mean, he's from Baltimore, right down the street. So just overall, a great night for Pitt, a great night for Bub. And, yeah, I mean, I think it was expected that he would be a first-round pick going into last night. But I was definitely a bit surprised that he went that high, that he went lottery.
Who do you compare Bub Carrington to? Like, who is a player comp that you had for him going into the draft process?
Yeah, I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the Thunder is obviously a name that comes up a lot with him. I mean, I think he's wiggly like that, I'd say. I've heard some coaches use that term before to describe
wiggly.
Guys, but yeah, it kind of just means they can navigate around, you know, pick and roll offenses. He can get to his spots. I mean, Bub's not the most explosive guard, and he's not the quickest guard in the class, but if you can picture him navigating a pick and roll at Pitt, navigating a pick and roll in the NBA, I think you could see a lot of comparisons to SGA with the Thunder. I mean, he's got a great mid-range game, and he just knows what to do. I mean, Jeff Capel said the best part about Bub is his mental game, is his mental strength and how smart he is. So, you know, all those things combined, I like the comp to SGA. Obviously, when you're comparing an 18-year-old who averaged 13 points a game in college to a superstar that probably could have won the NBA MVP this year, it's a stretch. But I think ceiling-wise, if we're talking in draft lingo, I'd go with SGA.
Yeah, I mean, if he ends up anywhere close to him, then he is going to have a hell of a career. I also have to add wiggly to the basketball draft terms now. That's kind of the – I guess that would be the version of twitchy that you get when you follow the NFL draft. That's one of the big words that draft Knicks will go with.
Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. I actually had a college coach. So with the Portal Report, we helped coaches recruit the transfer portal. And we had a coach come to us earlier this spring and say, I need a wiggly shake guard. So I've been using it all spring and all summer. I love it.
A wiggly, what was the second word? A wiggly shake guard?
Shake, yeah.
So what does that part mean?
Hey, beats me. I mean, we tried our best to get him what he was looking for. But I think exactly what I was talking about with Bub, like a guy that can, you know, kind of get through the defense and get to his spots without being the most explosive, most athletic guy on the court. Just a guy that you see, you know, uses leverage well, you know, makes the most of his footwork inside too. So that's my best interpretation that I can give.
How do you think he fits in with what the Wizards do?
Yeah, I mean, I love the landing spot for him, especially because obviously the Wizards were terrible last year. They're going to be terrible again, most likely. They're very early into a rebuild. And you look at their roster, and the guards on the roster aren't all that exciting. I mean, I know Bilal Coulibaly, their young guy from last year's pick, he's exciting. They're definitely going to build around him. I mean, Jordan Poole's there. He takes a million shots a game. Kyle Kuzma's there. But, I mean, Bub's 18. Like, if you give him 2 years to develop there, 2-3 years even, like, he's 20, 21, 2-3 years of NBA experience under his belt, he could really blossom into the lead point guard on the Washington Wizards. Like, it's not out of the question. There's no superstar point guard on that team. Like I said, Poole has the ball a lot. But 3 years down the road, who knows where he'll end up. I mean, I could see them trading him for more picks, like doing the OKC method, and just keep getting younger. So they have Tyus Jones, the old Duke guard, on the roster. He was, I think, 12 points a game last year for him, for them. But I don't know if they're going to want to keep Tyus 3 years from now over a 21-year-old Bub. Like, there's a real opportunity for him here. I think they had the fastest pace out of all the teams in the NBA last year. Bub's a good transition player, so I don't think he'll have any trouble with that. But, you know, he's 18. He's a late lottery pick. Like, he's more than likely not going to average 20 points a game and make the jump statistically from college. But I think 2-3 years down the line, this could be a really good position for him to be in, you know, in Washington.
Blake Hinson signing an undrafted free agent two-way deal with the L.A. Lakers. How does his game translate to the association?
Yeah, I talked with Blake this week, and I kind of asked him that same question. I said, hey, where do you fit in? Where are you hearing you fit in from scouts, from personnel in these front offices that he met with? And he told me, he said, hey, look, in my eyes, there's three positions in the NBA. It's point guard, it's wings, and centers. Like, he's like, it's point guards and centers, and everyone else is a wing. Everyone in the NBA, almost everyone has to be able to shoot the ball. And with Blake's ability to shoot the ball at 6'7", I think there's always going to be a place in professional basketball for a guy like him. If he can really make the most of this opportunity early, get in shape, you know, improve on defense, I think there's a place for him in the league. I mean, we've seen other guys get two-way deals and make the most of them. Austin Reeves on the Lakers is probably the guy that right now Blake would be competing with for minutes if he were on the big league squad. Austin Reeves is a two-way guy. Lou Dort, Caruso, he just got traded from the Bulls. George Niang, that's a guy who I heard come up in player comps for Blake. George Niang, who was really good at Iowa State, kind of did a little bit more with the ball in his hands, but then gets to the NBA, strictly a shooter. Like, that's what they're going to be looking for from Blake. Nothing more, nothing less. Like, he's going to have to make shots. More than likely, he's going to have to make threes. And if he did what he did at Pitt, like, he can really be successful in the league. So we'll see how it all plays out with LeBron there over the next few years. I saw you were tweeting about Bronny a bit ago. But I think the Lakers, again, are, like, pretty good landing spot for him. It's really cool because Blake has always been vocal about how big of an NBA fan that he is. So to see him get picked up by the Lakers, like, he's going to absolutely love it down there, spending time with LeBron and AD, and then obviously hope for a big summer league from him, see what he can do in the G League and the NBA.
Yeah, George, people not happy with me for pointing out the obvious, that Bronny James, one of the biggest Nepo babies of 2024. Your thoughts on him getting drafted, and, you know, should he really have been picked? Or was that a lot of influence on what his name is?
It was all influence on what his name is. I mean, he's not an NBA player right now. I think it would have been cool to see him take another year or two in college. Maybe if it was at Duquesne, it would have been even cooler for us, right? But it would have been cool to see him develop a little bit more. He's 6'2". He's an undersized player in the NBA. And a lot of people don't think he's even a point guard in the NBA. Like, he's kind of an undersized point guard that's not even a point guard. So I don't think he's an NBA talent right now. Obviously, the genes are there and seems like a really good kid, like a hard worker, everything that you want in a teammate. So I do think it's 100% because LeBron's there, right? And, I mean, if you're the Lakers, like, my thing is obviously you're going to pick Bronny 55th overall. The amount of players that come out of the second round and actually become something in the NBA – it's so, like, slim. Like, there's rarely – obviously, you got Joker with the Nuggets who did it. But I think there's only been three or four MVPs ever in the NBA that were second-round picks. Especially at 55, you know, keep LeBron happy. Do the right thing in this situation. You know, LeBron has until, I think, later this month, like, a few days from now, to opt into his final year of his contract, and then they'll probably want to get him on a three-year deal for the league max. So, I mean, you'll see him accept that if his son's on the team. Like, LeBron's not going anywhere. You're locking him up basically for three more years with this pick. So, and I mean, I don't blame the Lakers at all for doing it. I do think he was picked today in the draft solely because of his name.
Thank you, George. That makes me feel better about my stance on it. George Michalowski, from the Portal Report and Pittsburgh Sports Now, talking some hoops with us here on 93.7 The Fan. How about this thought for you? True or false, Blake Hinson will have a better NBA career than Bronny James?
Oh, man. That's a tough one because Blake is very old. I'd go false, honestly. Bronny's going to have an opportunity just as much as Blake, unfortunate as it is.
Probably more for the same reasons that we just got done talking about. He'll probably get more chances than the regular player would get.
100%. No, I agree with you. And I mean, I think there's a good chance we see even if he's on a deal similar to Blake's, I think there's a chance we see Bronny as soon as this year or next year on the court with his dad. I mean, whether it be late in the game or what, he's going to have an opportunity to play with his dad because his dad's a top, you know, 1, 2, 3 player in NBA history. He means everything to the Lakers right now. And, you know, it's like Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. in baseball. Like, it's an iconic moment in the sport that I think the Lakers are going to do whatever they can, you know, to get that to happen. So I think right now I'd have to gamble. I think the odds just aren't in favor of Blake compared to Bronny. But again, it's up to Blake. Like, he has a chance at 6'7", made 100 threes last year in college. Like, he has a real chance to take advantage of this and make the most of it.
What do you think of this tactic? I think it was Tim Legler. I apologize if I'm wrong, but I believe it was on the lead up on the ESPN coverage of the NBA draft, suggesting that one of those teams right before the Lakers should have threatened to take Bronny James. And I understand his agent was saying, don't do that. He'll play in Australia, as if that was scaring anybody away. But one of those teams should have threatened to take Bronny James basically to force a trade.
Yeah, I love that strategy, you know, on paper. But then once I did see Rich Paul came out and said that, and, you know, he does hold a ton of power in the league. I mean, you hear it all the time, like the agents and the players hold all the, you know, hold all the power in this league. So it's going to be tough for any other team to go against that, especially with such a powerful guy in Rich Paul. I think the strategy is awesome. I remember 2 years ago, Jamarius Burton at Pitt, we were having a conversation because he's a big NBA fan, obviously plays professionally now overseas, but we were having this conversation 2 years ago when Bronny was in high school. We were like, all right, do you just pick him in the first round even? If you're another team, pick him like 28th overall, and you essentially either get LeBron or in a trade or trade him, you know, to whoever LeBron's playing with for a good piece. So it's fun to talk about, but it was never going to happen, I don't think, because of the power that these agents hold.
Let's discuss the new coach of the Lakers while we're at it, and we'll get back to the Pitt stuff here in a minute. J.J. Redick, the new Lakers head coach, and I saw a graphic the other day. I think his coaching experience before that was like a fourth grade, like YMCA team. How much faith do you have in somebody that can go from behind the desk as an analyst? Obviously a longtime player. He was a Duke legend. But can he go from analyst to become successful head coach, especially given the buddy-buddy relationship he clearly has with LeBron?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I don't see why not. I mean, it's more than he's going from just an analyst booth to the sidelines and coaching. Like, this guy played, what, 15 years in the NBA at the highest level. I mean, he averaged 15 a game probably 5 or 6 times in his career for seasons on end. Like, those guys, I think a lot of players, a lot more than we think or that we talk about, could probably be pretty good coaches just from being around the game, being in the huddle, being in the locker room, and you know, being that invested in what's going on, you know, behind the scenes every day. And J.J. Redick obviously is known as a pretty smart player, as a pretty bright mind in the game. And obviously, speaking of mind the game there, that's the name of his podcast with LeBron. So I know people aren't too thrilled, but it gives guys like me and you, Donnie, hope that maybe someday we could become an NBA coach.
George, anybody on the current Pitt roster or coming in that you think could be viewed as an NBA prospect? Maybe not to the level that Bob Carrington was or Steven Adams years ago, but a guy that gets picked late second round or just an undrafted free agent like Blake Hinson?
Yeah, there's two guys that come to mind for me. One of them we haven't even seen in a Pitt uniform yet. First, I'd say Jalen Lowe. He is undersized. He's 6'3", pretty skinny still too, but super skilled. You saw him last year really carve out a role for himself as just a freshman. So depending on how this year goes, maybe even next year if he stays at Pitt again, I think he could blossom into an NBA prospect. And then Cam Corin's the other guy that I think of, the 6'10 forward coming in from FSU, the transfer. He has the, you know, the size, and I've heard that he's been shooting it a little bit more and had a little bit more freedom for Pitt than he did at Florida State. You know, I think he only shot like 1 3-pointer last year for Florida State. If he could come in and develop a little bit of an outside game, as well. I think that could be a really intriguing piece for an NBA franchise. It's tough, man. It's hard to become an NBA player, especially in this day and age when the point guards are named Luka Doncic at 6'8", 6'9". Like, it's really hard. You've got to have the height. You got to have the size, and you got to be able to shoot. So I think it's possible. Otherwise, I mean, they've got the veteran guards that are great. Damian Dunn, you know, Ish Leggett, but I don't think those guys look like NBA guys right now. That's what I'd say.
You asked Bub and Blake Hinson about Pitt making the tournament next season, and you said they both gave a pretty good pitch to you. You don't have to give your entire answer away, because I know that can be found in your conversation with them. But what were some of the highlights there of their answers?
Yeah, so Bub was thrilled when I asked him. I said, hey, I'll give you 30 seconds. You got to tell me why Pitt's going to make the tournament this year. And Bub smiled right away. He's like, go, like, start the timer. He loved it. And he basically went through every single position on the team. He said Jalen Lowe, first and foremost, is going to be one of the top guards in the ACC. He talked about the veteran guards, Leggett and Dunn. He talked about the bigs. He talked about the twins. He kept calling them foreigns, which was pretty hilarious. Huh. You got to check that out in the interview. He's like, we got two foreigns down low that can shoot the three from Europe. So Bub went all in. Blake Hinson was Blake Hinson and gave a pretty crafty, you know, creative answer. He said, look, I don't need 30 seconds. Jeff Cape, the reason that team is going to the NCAA tournament is because Jeff Capel built that team. So he's very confident, as always, and Bub really liked answering it. So it was a good conversation. Check him out on PSN if you guys haven't already.
Beyond their answers, how do you like their roster taking shape heading into next season?
I love it. I think the one thing that people aren't really, thrilled about is that they don't have a guy like who can replace Blake Hinson, right? Like, a guy who clearly will make 80 to 90 threes this upcoming year. I do think that this roster is very well constructed. You need veteran guards to win in March. You have an exciting young guard in Lowe who's just going to add on to that. And then down low, like, they have so much versatility inside that we haven't seen at Pitt in years. Like, since I've been covering the team 3-4 years now, they haven't had a capable big that can get a bucket on his own. Federico was a great guy, a great player in his own way, mostly on the defensive side and catching lobs, running rim to rim. But now they've got a guy, Cam Corin, who, if you haven't seen him, go look him up. Go watch his highlights from Florida State, because he's going to be special. Like, he averaged 9 a game last year. Obviously, that's not going to put him at the top of all these transfer rankings. But if you watch him play, man, they're going to have so many more opportunities to get these guards more space, especially when you put them in the pick and roll. A guy like Jalen Lowe, like, that's two really good playmakers playing next to each other compared to last year when they were pretty limited on those pick and roll opportunities unless you throw one of the twins in there. So I could go on all day about each guy on this roster. I haven't even mentioned Amsal Dalalic yet, the freshman from Bosnia. So we don't know what we're going to get out of him yet at Pitt, but it's definitely really exciting times, for the coaching staff, for the team right now.
Biggest loss that wasn't somebody who either graduated or went to the NBA, it would have to be via the transfer portal, and then biggest addition to the Panthers roster.
Yeah, biggest loss, I'd go with Federico. Will Jeffress obviously meant a lot to a lot of people around the program. He seemed like a great kid. Always was great to me. I mean, I interviewed him a few times off the court. He was a good guy. Gave everything he had to the program. Graduated, I believe, in 3 years. So he was a great player, great addition. But I think Federico leaving was more of a surprise to Pitt fans. And I think, obviously, it's a bigger loss than Jeffress, but I still think that their additions kind of made up for that and even more. Especially, I think Cam Corin, man, I think that's the big addition that you got to circle. But that's not to downgrade the addition of Damian Dunn. Like, people forget that last year he entered the portal after 3-4 years at Temple, and everyone in the country wanted that kid. He had a long list of schools. Pitt couldn't even get in on him. So goes to Houston, doesn't have as big a role. Plays in a crowded backcourt, but, man, he still had like 5-6 games, double-digit scoring, and that was all, I think, under 30 minutes of playing time in those games. So he has some real skill. 6'5" guard that's a veteran grad student, like, sounds like Tamari Spurton to me. So you need those kind of guys to go far in March, like the vets who've been there before. He played for Houston last year, one of the best teams in the country. So Cam Corn and Damian Dynasty, both those transfers are big additions. But then, obviously, Brandon Cummings. Like, we've all seen him play at Lincoln Park last year, so I'm excited to watch him as well.
George Michalowski, check his stuff out. Portal Report, Pittsburgh Sports Now. George, as always, thanks for taking the time, man.
Of course, man. Good luck golfing.
Thank you. There we go. George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now and the Portal Report. Again, check out his stuff when you can. He does some great stuff on hoops in this town. 412-928-9370. You heard what George said there at the end, Jolie. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. I am golfing for real for the first time tomorrow in an outing. Luckily, it's a scramble type deal, so the pressure not on me a ton. But coming up, we'll get into some more stuff that came of the NBA draft and some of the headlines, some of the thoughts on that. Also, USA Soccer in action. Did they win? What's up next for them? We'll get into Steelers Mount Rushmore at 9 o'clock, and we'll take your calls on that at 412-928-9370. That's also the number of the fan text line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's Donnie Football on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Donnie Football with you tonight until 10:35. Joel Nelson with me behind the glass. Some fun stuff already on tonight's show. Lily King joined us earlier. You can check that out using the rewind function on the Odyssey app. She joined around 6:30. Great story there. A Mount Pleasant swimmer. One of the many, many elite athletes in the WPIAL right now. She came up just short in the Olympic trials for this summer, but the NC State recruit should be a name you remember to see in the pool in 2028. George Michalowski with some great stuff there a few minutes ago on the NBA draft. Jolie, I wanted to get into that with you. I know you're an NBA guy. I know you're a hooper yourself. I see all the time on your Instagram stories, you're out here hooping it up at some of the local outdoor courts. So I know you're a basketball guy. NBA draft. Bub Carrington drafted 14th overall. Then you get guys like Zach Edey picked early. Bronny James getting picked 55th overall. J.J. Redick coaching the Lakers now, coming out from behind the desk as an analyst. I want to start with the Bub Carrington stuff and get your thoughts on that. You got to see this guy play, as we all did this year at Pitt. He was a really fun young player to watch, and he gets his name called last night, 14th overall. One of the highest Pitt draft picks in program history. I think that's a really cool one.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Third highest Pitt draft pick in the NBA. I think that's pretty cool. And with a team like Washington, you know, where, and I think George mentioned how the Wizards aren't expected to be that good next year like they were this year, that might open the door here and there for Carrington to get some, you know, opportunities. If he's not a starter, I would imagine he'll get some opportunities if Washington were to, you know, maybe have a bad season yet again and they find themselves in some garbage time gains. And that's all, of course, if Carrington's not a starter. I thought he was going to be picked later on in the first round, and so it's kind of encouraging that the Wizards are taking him with the 14th overall pick, kind of high.
I thought something else that was cool was that we saw some images last night. There were a bunch of current Pitt guys
That
were there. They were at the draft in person. I thought that was really cool because that does something, too, for Jeff Capel as a recruiter of like, hey, this is the type of culture that we have built in Pittsburgh now. Like, this dude gets drafted. Yeah, maybe we don't have a ton of guys do this. We're not the Kentuckys of the world or the Kansases or, you know, you can point out any blue blood that gets guys drafted every single year. But here's this kid getting drafted, and here are all of his teammates in the crowd at the draft supporting him. I thought that was a really cool touch for the Panthers as well.
It really does speak to the culture that Jeff Capel has built, and it's a pretty good one. Hey, like, if you go to Pitt and you get drafted by the NBA, you're going to have all your Pitt teammates there. You know, just think about that. The kind of opportunity that now sets for, you know, future college basketball players who have NBA aspirations. Hey, here's a thing that's Pitt's doing, you know?
I'm also excited for Blake Henson.
Me too.
Carrington, the more polished NBA prospect, but when it came to guys that were exciting to watch, very few guys in recent Pitt memory for me are higher up than Blake Henson. Malzi did his top 10 Pitt hoopers of all time earlier today, and you know he was going way back, even guys that played before he was born. He had Blake Henson at number 10 because he did it just based off the eye test, and Henson is one of the most exciting players in recent Pitt history.
He is.
I mean, you can think of so many, maybe not so many, but you can think of at least a handful of iconic moments in the just 2 years that Blake Henson was at Pitt, whether it be a big 40-point night. I mean, I think Pitt fans for a long time will remember the image of him standing on the scorer's table at Duke after he had a perfect game there and Pitt beat the Blue Devils on their own floor, Duke being in the top 10 at the time of that upset. You think of that shot that he took against Mississippi State in the first four 2 years ago. I mean, that is one of the most unconscious shots that I've seen a Pitt player take, and he knocks it down the moment in the game that it happened. I mean, I remember vividly watching that with my buddies when I lived in the South Side. And there's, you know, three or four of us just watching that game. It was a tight-knit group for that one. Henson takes that three from about 30 feet out, and it's one of those shots that get taken. It's like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, and it goes in.
It's like, why did he take that? Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a moment I'll never forget from Blake Henson. So I'm excited for him because George did say something important there. Think of the NBA. Almost everybody can shoot, no matter what position. And I think that Henson put it in an interesting way when he talked to George earlier this week. The NBA, you're either a point guard, you're a center, or you're a wing. There's like three things that guys do. Maybe it's just because I'm a personal fan of the dude, I think Hinson's shooting ability can have him stick around for maybe longer than we expect. He does have a weird build for the NBA, but who knows? I mean, he can be maybe just a three-point specialist or something like that. I mean, with the way that the three-point shot is around the league, that's obviously a key position for teams to have.
It's like the home run ball in baseball where, you know, you get some guys getting even big-time contracts because they can hit 40 to 50-some home runs a year. Blake Hinson, perfect example when it comes to that three-point specialist like you mentioned. I know there's Duncan Robinson of the Miami Heat who's a three-point specialist, and there are like countless other names. I'm forgetting a lot of them right now, but yes, absolutely. The three-point specialist part, you would think at worst for Blake Hinson, he can absolutely develop into that kind of role, if not an everyday regular starter.
Another guy I want to talk about before we get to Bronny, Zach Edey, selected last night, number 9. He went in the top 10, the two-time AP Player of the Year, drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't know if his play can translate to the NBA. I'm by no means a expert of the association. I do have some holdups there with his game and how well he can play at that level against some of the talented athletes that he will see in the NBA. I mean, he ain't playing in the Big Ten anymore, brother.
He ain't.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing in the NBA. You will see some of the greatest athletes in the world. And I just don't know. He just won't be able to take over games the way he does that he was able to do throughout college basketball, throughout the Big Ten, throughout the NCAA tournament. Like, nice story how Purdue was able to bounce back this year, get to the title game. I don't know. Maybe you see it differently with Edey, but I think he could very well become a bust out of this draft.
Yeah, I see it very similarly to how you do, Donnie, where – and I was looking over a bunch of like the mock drafts a handful of weeks ago and stuff, and no one had him in the top 10. You know, there may have even been some teams who didn't have Edey as a top 10, top 15 pick, maybe not even a first round pick. There might have been some teams who had a second round grade on Edey. It's possible. I just don't know. The same thing, just like you said, about how his game is that going to translate into the NBA. I guess the thing I'll come back to is all of the sorts of, like, I can't remember what sort of records he broke, but he had some pretty big time records. And so I guess if you're that productive of a college player, maybe that's a little bit of a saving grace for when you get to the NBA. But yeah, I don't know. I wonder about, you know, maybe his mobility to get down the court, fast paced games, all that kind of stuff. I'm just not sure if 9 overall was worthy for Zach Edey, but we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, he could surprise us for sure, but I don't know. I just think you have to be some sort of outside shooter, at least to some degree, to get by in the NBA now in 2024. Bronny is the big headline from today's portion of the draft. I said earlier in the show, people not happy with me at all for pointing out that Bronny is maybe the biggest Nepo baby of 2024, and that's what he is. Listen, I understand that nepotism is a thing. I fully understand that, people. Don't worry, because there is plenty of it in this business. But me pointing that out, I don't think it's inaccurate. George Michalowski, who knows a lot more about hoops than I do, said that is 100% the reason why Bronny James got drafted. The NBA draft, a little bit weird. You know, you can't really stack it up to what the NFL draft it's like. I mean, all the drafts are kind of like their own animal. But if his name is not Bronny James, he ain't getting picked. He is not getting picked. I mean, Joel, again, like I said with Edey, maybe I'm missing something here, but based on what I saw from Bronny, his one season at USC, I didn't come away from that thinking this guy is a true NBA talent.
It's discouraging. You said under 5 points per game on average, right?
Yes.
It's definitely under
4.8 points per game.
Yeah, that's pretty poor, you know? And when you go to USC and you're Bronny James, the expectation is that you're going to probably be the star of the team. And when you average 4.8 points per game, that's really, you're really not the star of the team. I guess the only thing I'll say to that is, bear with me on this, Donnie. Maybe it's some sort of like senioritis thing where like he knows he's going to be in the NBA. And so he doesn't take being with USC fully serious or something like that. If he knows he's going to be in the NBA, he's going to be drafted, maybe even by the Lakers. Maybe he's not going to take his college hoops too seriously. Now, I mean, he also had, you know, the cardiac arrest and stuff,
right,
but still under 5 points a game. Discouraging.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to bring up the, you know, the heart scare that he had last summer, which I'm glad you brought it up, Joel, because I didn't want to just fail to mention that. I mean, that obviously did play a factor in what happened with him this year. He missed out on some of the offseason, but he still got to play in 25 games. It's not like it completely took away what he did as a freshman at USC. I almost just wonder that this was LeBron kind of pushing the timeline up. Like, hey, I want to make sure this happens. I want to make sure I play with one of my sons. So let's get him to the league as quickly as possible. He absolutely could have used more seasoning. But in a way, I think LeBron's got enough power to take down like every team in the NBA. I mean, he's still, at this stage in his career, can basically dictate terms to any team, any owner. So what I'm expecting this was that LeBron wanted to play with them. LeBron isn't 100% sure how many years he has left in the league. They wanted to make it happen as quickly as possible. I mean, he would have been a player, I'm guessing, if they had the rule when LeBron did it and came straight out of high school, they would have let Bronny do that. He wouldn't even have gone to college.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could have seen that happening with him for sure. J.J. Redick coaching. I'm not sure how this will go. The dude's coming from behind the desk. I know that he was a pretty good player, had a very long, successful pro career, not a Hall of Famer, at least I don't think. Now, collegiately, he was a legend at Duke, one of the first college basketball players I remember watching in my childhood. So he's been around the block and then some. Wondering how that'll work, because we know that he has a pretty close buddy-buddy type relationship with LeBron James. So it makes me wonder how that will work with him on the Lakers sideline. Like, will there really be that much accountability taken with LeBron if J.J. Redick is more of a buddy than an actual coach to him? That's where I would think, you know, I'm not a Lakers fan, but there's got to be some concern there of how seriously LeBron will take Redick. I mean, the guys are basically the same age. Now, here's where I think it does help, and it's not like this is the first time in history this has happened either. There are hundreds of coaches in NBA history that were players beforehand. I do think it helps whenever a guy has played the game, because players will respect them a little bit more when it's like, okay, this dude played for 10 to 15 years in the league. You know, it's not just some guy who got into coaching and, you know, worked his own path, or maybe he was a path of nepotism that got him there.
And Redick played, you know, fairly recently. Like, he's played with the, you know, how the NBA has evolved and stuff, and so he's much more familiar with like the new form of the NBA, and, you know, compared to like maybe someone who played in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that kind of thing. Redick is more familiar with like how the NBA has evolved over recent years as well, I think, is another pretty big factor to that.
Coming up, United States soccer was in action earlier tonight. Did they win? What's next for them in the Copa America tournament? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll also take a look at the Steelers' Mount Rushmore from one of my favorite YouTube pages. That is all I'll say. It's not my own Mount Rushmore of the Steelers. We've talked about that plenty of times in the past, but we'll get into that at 9 o'clock. 412-928-9370 if you want to join in on the conversation. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Listen to the Joe Starkey Show every Wednesday. Hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan tonight until 10:35. Joel Nelson with me behind the glass. The first presidential debate about to get started, Joel, in a few minutes. Very exciting stuff that we will see between JB and DJT in a little bit. I've said before, Donald Trump, for me, like, everything the guy says, I just crack up at. The context doesn't always even matter, just like his general delivery. I don't know what it is, but I laugh every single time. The United States men's soccer team, a loss today to Panama, 2-1 in Copa America, the group stage, Group C. Looking at the standings for that, three teams now kind of in the same spot in that group. Three teams with 3 points. Bolivia with 0 points, but Uruguay, United States, Panama, they all have three. Now, where it becomes important, the goal differential is a big tiebreaker in this. So, United States right now with a positive one at one. Panama.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. Come.